It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hit and Run with Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
Here's the 3-2 now from Bednar. Swinging a line drive, base hit to center. Bellinger had to hold up. Rounding third, he's heading home. The throw to the plate, he slides. He is safe. He is safe. Cubs win the ball game. The catcher, Bart, dropped the ball. Bellinger scores. Christopher Morel being mobbed out at second base. The Cubs win it 1-0. What a finish.
1-0 wins are precious, and the Cubs pulled it off yesterday with the Christopher Morel game-winning hit, scoring Cody Bellinger as tracked by Pat Hughes right here on The Score. Another terrific performance for Shota Imanaga, and the Cubs are 500 with Jameson Taillon on the mound today. Matt Spiegel will have the pregame at 12:45. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Spiegs today. And now we get an opportunity to talk to a guy who covers both sides of town, Paul Sullivan, longtime sports writer for the Chicago Tribune. You can follow him on X at PW Sullivan. And Paulie, it has been made clear to me that you indeed did not cover the 2005 White Sox and El Duque Hernandez and all that he did there. You had your hands full at the end of what would have been the Dusty Baker era with the Cubs, right? Or towards the end of it, anyway.
Towards the end. Yeah, that was Mark Gonzalez on the 05 Sox.
Ah.
I did get to cover the playoffs from the Angels series and, of course, the World Series as like a sidebar guy, but no, I didn't cover that series in Boston.
But you did cover got to cover a little bit of the 1990 White Sox and that final year of Comiskey and the improbable year against the Oakland A's, right? You covered some of that?
I did. I covered a lot of that. I remember the longest rain delay in history. It was about 8 hours at old Comiskey Park.
What was going on with that? I read about that as well. Why were they so interested in letting it rain for 8 hours and then still playing? What were the circumstances?
I think it was the last series that Texas was in. I think it was probably in August or late July. And they just wanted to get the game in. It was one of those deals where the window kept saying it was going to open up and it didn't. And they just kept waiting and waiting. And that was back in the day where Reinsdorf was so benevolent that he sent a bunch of pizzas up to the press box for us because we were hungry.
Oh.
And we'll never forget that one. And I remember Donnie Paul, you were talking about him, standing outside in the rain, giving autographs to fans for like an hour in the rain. It was really cool to see. So that was a fun year, a lot of memories. I love that documentary. So I'm really interested in seeing the book, too.
Yeah, no, the documentary was great. I think one of my favorite parts was Dave Stewart saying that except for a couple of guys on the team, that nobody could hold his jock.
Yeah, and then fans made a giant jock strap hung it over the right field. And it was cool to see Chicken Willie in there because he was an old friend of mine from the old Cook clubhouse guy for the Sox at Old Comiskey. He was a great guy. A lot of great memories watching that.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, Jack McDowell was a huge part of that team. Blackjack. Have you heard some of Jack McDowell? Like he's got some takes these days.
No, what's his take?
Well, his big he of course, you know, I guess this is probably not unique to most old school pitchers. He hates the fact that, you know, that there's pitch counts and guys get taken out and all of that. But he actually had a very good theory. And I don't know what your theories are, if you agree, because there's all sorts of things that get thrown around with all the injuries that pitchers have suffered. And he had a very lucid thought about that, that it's just guys that are trying to throw as hard as they possibly can on most pitches. And from the perspective of the pitchers, and we just saw one of them, and Paul Skeens, who's sitting, you know, 100 miles per hour, I get it, because, you know, you get handed $10 million before you step on the field if you have velocity like that and maybe a couple of other pitches to counter it. But, I mean, that's his theory on it. I don't know if there is a proper way to solve the issue of pitcher injuries, or if it's just the awkward motion that it is. What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, that does sound like a rational theory. I mean, you look at Jacob DeGrom, one of the best pitchers in the game, but he can never stay healthy. And, you know, he was one of those guys, I think, when they're talking about Shota's lowest ERA in his first 9 career starts, I think DeGrom started a season with like an 0.6 ERA. It wasn't his rookie year, but, you know, he was like throwing 100, one of the early guys that was always throwing 100, and he just can't stay healthy. And then you look at Shota, he was dominating yesterday with the 92-93 mile four seamer and his splitter, threw maybe a handful of curves, and just made it look easy. I think he threw like 20 balls the whole game, which was, you know, I watched Kopech the other day. It looked like he threw 20 balls in one inning. So it's all about control and command of the zone. And, velocity is great, but, I think a performance like yesterday is every bit as fun to see as some guy throwing 100.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a blast to watch. Just the stuff, obviously, and the emotions that he shows. Like you don't see this much, Paul, and you know this from covering as much baseball as you have, and I've covered a ton too. You rarely see starting pitchers smiling on the mound. I mean, I could think of him and then Mark Burley, maybe. That was about it.
Yeah, and two similar low key guys. He's got a very good personality. You're trying to get him to talk about his newfound celebrity yesterday, and he said they don't even know him at the Dunkin' Donuts. They just know him as the guy that can't make up his mind on what size of coffee he wants or what kind of latte he wants. I mean, he just seems to be enjoying himself, and he's really fun to watch. It's just a great story for the Cubs, and I think, you got to imagine at this point, barring a collapse, he should be the starter in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not him, maybe it'll be Javier Assad. He hasn't been as good as he's kind of been low-key good, Assad.
Yeah, yeah. No, they both should make it, you would think, but, there's a long way to go till July 15th, but it's looking good for those two.
How do you see this team as a whole? I mean, like, obviously we're talking about some brilliant pitching performances by the Cubs. Like I said, they're 5 games over 500 with all the injuries and the breaks and stuff. Do you think that they should be the favorite for the division once they get everything together?
I would think so. I still can't figure out how Milwaukee is this good, because you look at their roster and it's really not all that impressive, honestly. Of course, Contreras having a sensational year, might be even the best Contreras in the family, it looks like.
How about yesterday? He had the game winning
home run off Verlander.
Unbelievable. 13 pitches.
Yeah, I was listening to that on the radio. It was it's quite a call. I think the Cubs should, be the favorites, but they're hitting .233, which is not very good. They're really getting by on the pitching. There have been a lot of injuries, so it's kind of hard to gauge, how good they are. But I think when Dansby comes back and Nico and with Cody back, morale. You got, you know, the heart of your lineup there together. You know, Hap is a mystery. I don't know what they do there.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
But I don't know how long you can wait, you know, with the PCA playing as well as he has. You got to give him a lot of playing time. So there's a lot of questions, but I guess, they're right there, and it could be a lot worse.
That is true. It's the Cubs are a little bit complicated right now. They don't have everything together yet, but it has looked good so far. Does anything stand out to you, Paul Sullivan, about Craig Counsell and the job that he has done in his first year as the Cubs manager?
Yeah, it's a little too early to say whether he's, you know, been an improvement or not, but he definitely is different than Ross. I think the way he sat Ian Happ, I'm not sure I would have seen David Ross do that. He was very honest about, taking Alzolay out of the closer role. He's been pretty honest about the Kyle Hendricks thing. You know, that's a very delicate situation, as you know, because he's such a beloved figure in Cubs history for obvious reasons, and he's having a terrible year. And, you know, you just got to wonder how long they can go with that. He said they probably will be talking about it today and on the off day to see what they do with his next start, which is scheduled for Thursday. But, you know, he's traditionally been terrible against the Braves, so I could see them skipping him for that at the very least. But I think the thing I like about Counsell is he's not afraid to make some controversial decisions or decisions that maybe Ross, would have just handled differently, especially with the bullpen, with Alzolay. I think, the guy had a good year last year. You could have, justified just, leaving him in that role and continuing on and, till he got his act back together. But, he took him out of it and, Neris has done a pretty good job. Like you said, he does cause heart attacks, but he seems to get the job done. So I still think they need a closer, and Neris would probably be better suited in the eighth inning role. But we got plenty of time till the trade deadline to figure out what they're going to do there.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And the good thing about Craig Counsell, not only just he's a good manager who. Business is business, but he also doesn't have the sentimental attachment to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, like Kyle Hendrick, and he gets it. So it's in his system, but it's not the same way it would have been for David Ross or even Joe Maddon, and for Cubs fans and you and I and everybody else. But I guess the question is on Kyle Hendricks, because you and I have seen this through the years. There seems like there's always a patch in Hendricks's season where he's just getting crushed, and we're like, okay, yeah. has the magic finally run out? Like, because we all kind of like watch him in awe. Like, how is he doing this with the velocity? Does this though seem different this time?
It does, and usually he was a slow starter, so you know he would pick up steam as he got nice out, but. And I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt when he started out slow, and because we've seen it happen before where he just turns it on. But, this does seem different. I know he said the other day that, wasn't a lot of seeing eye hits and all that. But, they're hitting a lot of crushing the ball sometimes. His home runs per nine are like almost three, which is – very unusual for him. I think his career average is like one per nine. There's a slugging percentage up against him. It's just not the same Kyle. And, he is a unicorn. He's always been a unicorn since he came up, even more so now because velocities are rising every year. There's more 95, 97, 100 mile an hour pitchers. But I don't know. I mean, he's what, 34, 35. So, these things happen. I remember when, Kerry Woods started, losing it, obviously he was a power pitcher, but, I wrote that, maybe he's better suited off in the bullpen, and he got all upset and, Cub fans got upset but turned out that they did that. That was back in 05. And, he extended his career quite a bit by doing that. He did a pretty good job. He was a closer and a setup guy. The 08 team had a great year. So I don't know. Maybe he could use Kyle as a one or two inning middle reliever and just see how it works. Because I heard earlier someone, I don't know if it was Speaks or somebody saying that, six-man rotation and all that.
But yeah, yep.
I don't see that. I don't. You've got to put the Brown or Wesneski in the rotation. I don't see why you have to keep them in the.
What about Wicks? What about when Jordan Wicks comes back, though? I think that.
Wicks. Yeah, he definitely probably would get the first shot back in the rotation. But even he, I could see him in a relief role too. I think between the three of them, you know, at least one of them is going to be better option than Kyle.
That's true.
At least the Kyle that we're seeing this year. So I just don't see them going too long with this experiment if it's not working.
No, this is a year that they're supposed to win. You can't experiment. The experimentation is over. That was for the last few years. That is not for this year. When you bring in Craig Counsell, you start to connote that you are serious about winning, which is where I think everybody thinks the Cubs should be right now. You, Paul, you mentioned the 2008 Cubs. I want to run a comp by you here, since we're talking mm-hmm. about that era. That I kind of compare the 2007 Cubs to mm-hmm. so far the 2024 Cubs. 2007 Cubs, Lou Piniella in his first year, and they ended up winning at the end of the season, but they it was like kind of a slow start while Lou Piniella was figuring things out, sort of like Craig Counsell, who has been figuring things out. You like that comp?
I do, and I think if you get Cliff Floyd on, he could probably confirm a lot of that because I think he was on that team, and I remember that didn't it really the turnaround start when Lou had that big episode kicking his cap and he got thrown out of a game and made a big show.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's right.
It was sometime early June, I think.
Yeah.
And that was the turnaround right there. Not that, you know, it had anything to do with it probably in real life, but it certainly was a turning point. And he admitted afterwards that he did it just for, you know, shake things up. And, because when he got here, he was like, oh, my God, this organization is not as set as I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember him saying, this is not a push-button operation and upset management because, you know, they just brought him in. And
Hendry's like, come on, man, what are you doing to me?
And this was in spring training. And he was like, oh, my God, what did I get into here? So
you saw the damn game. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly. Was that your question?
No,
I
think it might have been Jesse. I think it was Jesse.
Oh, yeah. It was Jesse.
And it was a fair question. It was a fair question that he asked. It was it was something about a bunt. But Lou had it on the field, and he'd had it with us in that little tiny dungeon of a press room back then.
You think I'm stupid or something?
I love that. And then he would break out the sir. But whenever he called someone sir, that meant that
it's trouble.
He didn't like the question. we have a tendency of breaking managers.
Yeah.
I think hopefully Counsell doesn't, get too broken by the Chicago media. You know, there is a tendency to ask a lot of questions about the lineups, which Lou hated.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Counsell's not a fan of that either. So
Lou wasn't ready for us. He just wasn't ready for us, was he?
No, and it's weird because he did New York.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did the big media thing. But I guess we're a little, you know, it's hard for me to say because I haven't been in any other media corps. But I guess we're a little more hard to learn to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just thought Cubbies, friendly. He forgot it was Chicago.
Yeah, and he was always, he couldn't believe how every win was like we're going to the World Series and every loss was end of the world. And, I think that's not as much as it used to be because they actually won the World Series. But, it still seems that way sometimes when you listen to talk radio and they're, you know, griping about Al Zolay or something, who was a very good pitcher last year. And,
yeah.
You know, he's had a bad month.
Yeah, so, really bad month.
Very bad month. Yeah. No doubt about that.
Epic for sure.
That's Chicago. You know, we're just it's a baseball town, and people take it passionately.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't think like Dusty Baker knew what he was getting into with
the
Cubs.
Oh, no. No chance. No. Yeah, we could go on down the line. Tom Treblehorn. Oh. Quaddy.
Oh, poor Quaddy, man. Whoa.
Rick Renteria.
Yeah.
I think the only one that seemed to take it well was Joe Maddon. And,
yes.
You know, I mean, he won right off the bat. So
Dale Swaim.
Dale took it pretty well because he knew they were going to lose. He was in a rebuild.
That's true. That's true.
He was a pretty mellow guy.
But, he never had a chance. Yeah.
No, he never had a shot. And it's too bad because I would have really liked to seen him with a good team because I didn't think he was a bad manager at all. He just a victim of circumstance and then never got another shot. And we'll probably never see Renteria with another shot, even though he got the Cubs to the next step in the rebuild and he got the Sox to the next step in the rebuild. And both times he was canned for a celebrity manager.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. God, the ego shot to that guy, man. I hope he has.
Yeah. I feel bad. We've never heard from him again. Really?
Yeah.
I don't think we've heard from him. We haven't heard from Ross.
Yeah, Ross might be the biggest cutthroat of all because he's a celebrity, right, for so many different reasons.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you understand that managers are going to get fired, but, man, to get, like, replaced like that, there's somebody better than you.
Especially when they end the season talking about what a great job you did. I mean, they were 10 games under 500 and got them into a playoff race, and they, of course, fell apart at the end. But, Boy, I'd really love to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
But yeah, I think we'll be waiting for a while on that.
Yeah, somebody's going to get it one of these days. I hope it's you, Paul Sullivan. I hope that all of a sudden I see it.
I can guarantee you it's not going to be me. No, it's not going to be me, but it will be someone.
Okay.
I would imagine it'll be ESPN because he used to work there. So
probably
maybe Jesse.
Yeah.
I think Jesse wrote his book or something.
The old, I wrote your book. Give me a little something, something.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah. All right, Paulie, you're the best, man. Thanks for jumping on. Appreciate you.
Okay, Groat. Take care.
Yep. See ya. That's Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. Love talking to Paul because we talk about right now, and then we just did talk about the 1990 White Sox, talk about the 2007 Chicago Cubs, and I now have to take a break. When we come back, if you missed it earlier, you will not miss it this time. Pete Crow Armstrong joins us next on Hit and Run on The Score.
What the hell do you think isn't working?
Hit and Run with Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
I think when you got guys that got on the mound and you go out there, you know, kind of hoping they just feel comfortable enough to do what they need to do on the mound and whatever that means to them. And if that results in us having to make plays, that's what we're here to do. And that's what I'm here to do. I live for that. So, I'm as much as I want to go run and chase balls down. I also have to be okay with Javi Assad going 6 shutty and Shota going 7 shutty and whatever.
Like,
it's honestly is very fun for me to watch from the center field angle too. I'm going and looking to make plays regardless.
PCA wants action out there. He's playing nice. He wants to go track down some baseballs out there. Pete Armstrong was on with us earlier. We're not going to have time to replay it for you, but you can go back on the Odyssey app at 10:30 and check it out. It'll be there forever. You will definitely be able to find it at some point in time, and he was very entertaining, as you heard right there. He lives for that bleep. Today, the Cubs continue their series against the Pirates. Pre-game coverage starts at 12:45 with Matt Spiegel today. Also, Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call for that first pitch at 1:20 to be made by Jameson Taillon. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell here in just 1 second as he just spoke pregame. But let's go to Ray in Orland Park first. Hello, Ray. You are on Hit and Run on the Score.
Hi, Mark. Good to talk to you. Before I get to my point, would you mind mentioning again what that documentary was? That sounds absolutely fascinating, what you were talking about.
Yeah, the book is called, and I think the documentary was titled the same thing, Last Comiskey. And it's about the 1990 Chicago White Sox. The book was written by Ken Smoller. I don't have the name of the gentleman who put the documentary together right off the top. I met him. He's a great dude.
We actually had Ken Smoller on the show a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah, Smoller was on. So just look up Last Comiskey and you'll see it. It's really, there's a book and there's a documentary. And like I said, I hadn't remembered much of that, but when it all came back to me, it's a really, really good documentary.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. You were listing off all those 90 players. That was the heyday of my baseball card collecting. I knew all those guys. I could tell you their batting averages, how many home runs they hit.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was at an event, too. I got to meet Steve Trout at a card signing event in Orland Park. So I got our Steve Trout autograph ball, Jerome Walton, Ozzie Guillen. So I had fun over there myself.
Yeah.
Some retro names.
Oh, man. Well, go ahead.
Those are some retros. Yeah. Yep. So onto the Cubs right now. One thing I really haven't enjoyed about Jed and Theo's, I know Theo's gone, but he's still, his fingerprints are on the team, of their running of the team is their devaluation of the closer. I know this is all the sabermetric world that they live in, but mm-hmm. I just keep thinking about, like, what if they kept their oldest Chapman? What if they, you know, instead of having Brandon Morrow be the closer, like, what if we would have had a legitimate closer? And I'm sorry, I don't know who the real legitimate closer is out there, because the league has done this where they don't respect that you can get guys out with Rick Honeycutt, Gene Nelson, and Dennis Eckersley. There's some more names for you.
Yeah,
at the back end of your bullpen. But other than Mason Miller, who you got to give the whole farm up for, I mean, they got to get somebody because this stinks. And they got to value the position again and realize that when Mariano Rivera came out, the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
He had ERAs in the ones for years. That matters. And the way they haven't thought this, it mattered, and the way they handle this has been disappointing.
Yeah, thanks for the call, man. I hear you. I think one of the, you know, another one of the names too that was only here for a year, I think, was Wade Davis, and he was absolutely excellent that year. I will say this though, the Cubs, Alzolay was good last year, and you know, maybe he wasn't great, but you had to think that he would follow up what he did and maybe become a terrific closer in the league. So I actually understood what they're doing, and for the record, they did have quote unquote backup as well in Hector Neris. So they, even though these guys haven't worked, and so you can quibble with the personnel, they did seem to think about it. You know, they had two guys on the roster who they thought could close games. But I do agree with you, and I'll say it again. I don't think that the closer is on their roster right now unless all of a sudden Ben Brown just takes the ball and he's absolutely awesome. But I can't quite get there as of yet. A simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything on the Score has to offer is the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score and take us everywhere you may go. There are a couple things coming out of Wrigley Field right now. One from Craig Counsell. Let's start here right at the top as he has an update on Nico Hoerner.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nico's doing well. We're having positive days. And so I think Tuesday looks good right now, assuming today goes well, if Tuesday looks good. And the goal is to just get it behind him. And I think we have a chance to do that on Tuesday.
So that's the Hoerner update. So I imagine he'll be good to go, as Counsell said. I don't think there'll be any funny stuff with that. Hoerner will be back on Tuesday. What about a guy that we've mentioned several times today? Two of the guys, actually, Jordan Wicks. And, yeah, Drew Smyly's still on this roster.
Yeah, Smyly will pitch on Tuesday in South Bend. Wicks will throw a bullpen here and then go out on rehab for the end of the week.
And before Smyly was injured, Craig Counsell seemed to really like using Drew Smyly. I mean, there's always a guy, it feels like when a new manager comes, he goes, oh, that's the guy he's attaching himself to. So it'll be interesting to see how he does use Drew Smyly when he comes back. And a guy who is also capable of starting. Couple of things on Shota Imanaga. Let's start first, Craig Counsell, on the confidence that Imanaga is showing.
You know, Shota's not young, and I think... And from that, I don't mean that to say that he's old, but I think he is. He's in a place in life where he's very sure who he is, and that's been evident kind of from early on. He's very confident in his choices, very confident in the people he puts around him, and it just, I think it all shows kind of in how he handles the situation. If you come here to play, you're looking for an experience, right? I think that's important. Now, is there going to be challenges with it? Absolutely, there's challenges with it. I think he is, you know, looking for the experience of what a new country what can I enjoy from a new country? And I think you take that perspective, and it makes the experience a really good one.
I love that. If you come to play here, you are looking for an experience. That is absolutely true, unless you get drafted and have no choice but to play with the Chicago Cubs. One last thing. That said, that carries over to the next thing with Imanaga. How is he handling the media?
There's no question that the Dodgers have received the bulk of the attention, and we understand that. I think what Shota's doing, if he wants it, he deserves it. That's for sure. Because he's been remarkable, and how he does it is it's really fun to watch. It's entertaining to me, and I think to most fans, and even on TV, it feels entertaining to me. Not just competitively great. It feels entertaining.
That's so true. Spot on. McCutchen goes deep yesterday. No, foul ball. Imanaga reacting just the way you were probably reacting at home. Phew. Thank God. That was Craig Counsell. Cubs baseball is coming up here in just a short few minutes. I didn't want to say that same word that Pete Crow Armstrong said earlier. Thanks for PCA coming on the show today. Thank you to Jim DeShays. We also had Matt Spiegel, Paul Sullivan as well. Terrific lineup put together by Sean Sears, the executive producer of Hit and Run. I'm Mark Grody. Thanks so much for listening today. I will be back on tomorrow night from 6 to 9 talking more baseball. I might spray in some Bears tomorrow night as well. Cubs coming up. Cubs and Pirates, final game of this series. Spiegs will have your pregame next right here on The Score.
God darn it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hit and Run with Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
Here's the 3-2 now from Bednar. Swinging a line drive, base hit to center. Bellinger had to hold up. Rounding third, he's heading home. The throw to the plate, he slides. He is safe. Cubs win the ball game. The catcher, Bart, dropped the ball. Bellinger scores. Christopher Morel being mobbed out at second base. The Cubs win it 1-0. What a finish.
1-0 wins are precious, and the Cubs pulled it off yesterday with the Christopher Morel game-winning hit, scoring Cody Bellinger as tracked by Pat Hughes right here on The Score. Another terrific performance for Shota Imanaga, and the Cubs are 500 with Jameson Taillon on the mound today. Matt Spiegel will have the pregame at 12:45. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Spiegs today. And now we get an opportunity to talk to a guy who covers both sides of town, Paul Sullivan, longtime sports writer for the Chicago Tribune. You can follow him on X at PW Sullivan. And Paulie, it has been made clear to me that you indeed did not cover the 2005 White Sox and El Duque Hernandez and all that he did there. You had your hands full at the end of what would have been the Dusty Baker era with the Cubs, right? Or towards the end of it, anyway.
Towards the end. Yeah, that was Mark Gonzalez on the 05 Sox.
Ah.
I did get to cover the playoffs from the Angels series and, of course, the World Series as like a sidebar guy, but no, I didn't cover that series in Boston.
But you did cover got to cover a little bit of the 1990 White Sox and that final year of Comiskey and the improbable year against the Oakland A's, right? You covered some of that?
I did. I covered a lot of that. I remember the longest rain delay in history. It was about 8 hours at old Comiskey Park.
What was going on with that? I read about that as well. Why were they so interested in letting it rain for 8 hours and then still playing? What were the circumstances?
I think it was the last series that Texas was in. And I think it was probably in August or late July. And they just wanted to get the game in. It was one of those deals where the window kept saying it was going to open up and it didn't. And they just kept waiting and waiting. And that was back in the day where Reinsdorf was so benevolent that he sent a bunch of pizzas up to the press box for us because we were hungry.
Oh.
And we'll never forget that one. And I remember Donnie Paul, you were talking about him, standing outside in the rain, giving autographs to fans for like an hour in the rain. It was really cool to see. So that was a fun year, a lot of memories. I love that documentary. So I'm really interested in seeing the book, too.
Yeah, no, the documentary was great. I think one of my favorite parts was Dave Stewart saying that except for a couple of guys on the team, that nobody could hold his jock.
Yeah, and then fans made a giant jock strap hung it over the right field. And it was cool to see Chicken Willie in there because he was an old friend of mine from the old Cook clubhouse guy for the Sox at Old Comiskey. He was a great guy. A lot of great memories watching that.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, Jack McDowell was a huge part of that team. Blackjack. Have you heard some of Jack McDowell? Like he is, he's got some takes these days.
No, what's his take?
Well, his big he of course, I guess this is probably not unique to most old school pitchers. He hates the fact that that there's pitch counts and guys get taken out and all of that. But he actually had a very good theory. And I don't know what your theories are, if you agree, because there's all sorts of things that get thrown around with all the injuries that pitchers have suffered. And he had a very lucid thought about that it's just guys that are trying to throw as hard as they possibly can on most pitches. And from the perspective of the pitchers, and we just saw one of them, and Paul Skeens, who's sitting, 100 miles per hour, I get it because, you get handed $10 million before you step on the field if you have velocity like that and maybe a couple of other pitches to counter it. But, that's his theory on it. I don't know if there is a proper way to solve the issue of pitcher injuries or if it's just the awkward motion that it is. What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, that does sound like a rational theory. I mean, you look at Jacob DeGrom, one of the best pitchers in the game, but he can never stay healthy. And, he was one of those guys, I think, when they're talking about Shota's lowest ERA in his first 9 career starts, I think DeGrom started a season with like an 0.6 ERA. It wasn't his rookie year, but, he was like throwing 100, one of the early guys that was always throwing 100 and, he just can't stay healthy. And then you look at, Shota, he was dominating yesterday with, 92, 93 mile, four seamer and his splitter through maybe a handful of curves and, just made it look easy. I think he threw like 20 balls the whole game, which was, I watched Kopech the other day. It looked like he threw 20 balls in one inning. So it's all about control and command of the zone. And, velocity is great, but, I think a performance like yesterday is every bit as fun to see as some guy throwing 100.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a blast to watch. Just the stuff, obviously, and the emotions that he shows. Like you don't see this much, Paul, and you know this from covering as much baseball as you have, and I've covered a ton too. You rarely see starting pitchers smiling on the mound. I mean, I could think of him and then Mark Burley, maybe. That was about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and two similar low-key guys. You know, he's got a very good personality. You're trying to get him to talk about his, you know, newfound celebrity yesterday, and he said they don't even know him at the Dunkin' Donuts. They just know him as the guy that can't make up his mind on what size of coffee he wants or what kind of latte he wants. I mean, he just seems to be enjoying himself, and he's really fun to watch. It's just a great story for the Cubs, and I think, you know, you got to imagine at this point, barring a, you know, a collapse, he should be the starter in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not him, maybe it'll be Javier Assad. You know,
yeah.
Javier, you know, he hasn't been as good as he's kind of been low-key good, Assad.
Yeah, yeah. No, they both should make it, you would think. But, you know, there's a long way to go till July 15th, but it's looking good for those two.
How do you see this team as a whole? I mean, like, obviously we're talking about some brilliant pitching performances by the Cubs. Like I said, they're five games over 500 with all the injuries and the breaks and stuff. Do you think that they should be the favorite for the division once they get everything together?
I would think so. I still can't figure out how Milwaukee is this good because you look at their roster and it's really not all that impressive, honestly. Of course, Contreras having a sensational year, you know, might be even the best Contreras in the family, it looks like.
How about yesterday? Yeah, he had the game-winning
home run off Verlander.
Unbelievable. 13 pitches.
Yeah, I was listening to that on the radio. It was quite a call. I think the Cubs should, you know, be the favorites, but, you know, they're hitting .233, which is not very good. They're really getting by on the pitching. There have been a lot of injuries, so it's kind of hard to gauge, you know, how good they are. But I think when Dansby comes back and Nico and with Cody back, Morel, you got, you know, the heart of your lineup there together. Hap is a mystery. I don't know what they do there.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
But I don't know how long you can wait, you know, with PCA playing as well as he has. You got to give him a lot of playing time. So there's a lot of questions, but they're right there and it could be a lot worse.
That is true. It's the Cubs are a little bit complicated right now. They don't have everything together yet, but it has looked good so far. Does anything stand out to you, Paul Sullivan, about Craig Counsell and the job that he has done in his first year as the Cubs manager?
Yeah, it's a little too early to say whether he's, you know, been an improvement or not, but he definitely is different than Ross. I think the way he sat Ian Happ, I'm not sure I would have seen David Ross do that. He was very honest about, taking Alzolay out of the closer role. He's been pretty honest about the Kyle Hendricks thing. You know, that's a very delicate situation, as you know, because he's such a beloved figure in Cubs history for obvious reasons, and he's having a terrible year. And, you know, you just got to wonder how long they can go with that. He said they probably will be talking about it today and on the off day to see what they do with his next start, which is scheduled for Thursday. But, you know, he's traditionally been terrible against the Braves, so I could see them skipping him for that at the very least. But I think the thing I like about Counsell is he's not afraid to make some controversial decisions or decisions that maybe Ross, you know, would have just handled differently, especially with the bullpen, with Alzolay. I think, the guy had a good year last year. You could have, you know, justified just, you know, leaving him in that role and continuing on and, you know, till he got his act back together. But, he took him out of it. And Neris has done a pretty good job. He, you know, like you said, he does cause heart attacks.
Yeah.
But, you know, he seems to get the job done. So I still think they need a closer, and Neris would probably be better suited in the eighth inning role. But, you know, we got plenty of time till the trade deadline to figure out what they're going to do there.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And the good thing about Craig Counsell, not only just, you know, he's a good manager who business is business, but he also doesn't have the sentimental attachment to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like Kyle Hendrick, and he gets it. So there's, it's in his system, but it's not the same way it would have been for David Ross or even Joe Maddon, and for Cubs fans and you and I and everybody else. But I guess the question is on Kyle Hendricks, because you and I have seen this through the years. There seems like there's always a patch in Hendricks's season where he's just getting crushed, and we're like, okay, yeah. has the magic finally run out? Like, because we all kind of like watch him in awe. Like, how is he doing this with the velocity? Does this though seem different this time?
It does, and usually he was a slow starter, so you know he would pick up steam as he got nice out, but. And I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt when he started out slow, and because we've seen it happen before where he just turns it on. But, yeah, this does seem different. I know he said the other day that, you know, wasn't, you know, a lot of seeing eye hits and all that. But, you know, I mean, they're hitting a lot of crushing the ball sometimes. His home runs per nine are like almost three, which is very unusual for him. I think his career average is like one per nine. There's a slugging percentage up against him. It's just not the same Kyle. And, you know, he is a unicorn. He's always been a unicorn since he came up, even more so now because velocities are rising every year. There's more 95, 97, 100 mile an hour pitchers. But I don't know. I mean, he's what, 34, 35. So yeah. These things happen. I remember when Kerry Woods started losing it. Obviously, he was a power pitcher, but, you know, I wrote that, you know, maybe he's better suited off in the bullpen. And he got all upset, and, you know, Cub fans got upset. But turned out that they did that. That was back in 05. And, you know, he extended his career quite a bit by doing that. He did a pretty good job. He was a closer and a setup guy. The 08 team had a great year. So I don't know. Maybe he could use Kyle as a one or two inning middle reliever and just see how it works. Because I heard earlier someone, I don't know if it's Speaks or somebody saying that, six-man rotation and all that.
But yeah, yep.
I don't see that. I don't. You've got to put the Brown or Wesneski in the rotation. I don't see why you have to keep them in the.
What about Wicks? What about when Jordan Wicks comes back, though? I think that.
Wicks. Yeah, he definitely probably would get the first shot back in the rotation. But even he, I could see him in a relief role too. I think between the three of them, you know, at least one of them is going to be better option than Kyle.
That's true.
At least the Kyle that we're seeing this year. So I just don't see them going too long with this experiment if it's not working.
No, this is a year that they're supposed to win. You can't experiment. The experimentation is over. That was for the last few years. That is not for this year. When you bring in Craig Counsell, you start to connote that you are serious about winning, which is where I think everybody thinks the Cubs should be right now. You, Paul, you mentioned the 2008 Cubs. I want to run a comp by you here, since we're talking about that era. That I kind of compare the 2007 Cubs to so far the 2024 Cubs. 2007 Cubs, Lou Piniella in his first year, and they ended up winning at the end of the season, but they it was like kind of a slow start while Lou Piniella was figuring things out, sort of like Craig Counsell, who has been figuring things out. You like that comp?
I do, and I think if you get Cliff Floyd on, he could probably confirm a lot of that, because I think he was on that team, and I remember that didn't it really the turnaround start when Lou had that big episode kicking his cap and he got thrown out of a game and made a big show.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's right.
It was sometime early June, I think.
Yeah.
And that was the turnaround right there. Not that, you know, it had anything to do with it probably in real life, but it certainly was a turning point. And he admitted afterwards that he did it just for, you know, shake things up. And because when he got here, he was like, oh, my God, this organization is not as set as I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember saying, this is not a push-button operation and upset management because, you know, they just brought him in. And
Hendry's like, come on, man, what are you doing to me?
And this was in spring training. And he was like, oh, my God, what did I get into here? So
you saw the damn game. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly. Was that your question?
No, I think it might have been Jesse. I think it was Jesse.
Oh, yeah. It was Jesse.
And it was a fair question. It was a fair question that he asked. It was something about a bunt. But Lou had it on the field, and he'd had it with us in that little tiny dungeon of a press room back then.
You think I'm stupid or something?
I love that. And then he would break out the sir. But whenever he called someone sir, meant that
it's trouble.
He didn't like the question. we have a tendency of breaking managers.
Yeah.
I think hopefully council doesn't, get too broken by the Chicago media. You know, there is a tendency to ask a lot of questions about the lineups, which Lou hated.
Oh, yeah.
And I think council's not a fan of that either. So
Lou wasn't ready for us. He just wasn't ready for us, was he?
No, and it's weird because he did New York.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did the big media thing. But I guess we're a little, you know, it's hard for me to say because I haven't been in any other media corps. But I guess we're a little more hard to learn to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just thought Cubbies, friendly. He forgot it was Chicago.
Yeah, and he was always, he couldn't believe how every win was like, we're going to the World Series, and every loss was end of the world. And, I think that's not as much as it used to be because they actually won the World Series. But, it still seems that way sometimes when you listen to talk radio and they're, you know, griping about Al Zelay or something, who was a very good pitcher last year. And,
yeah.
You know, he's had a bad month. Yeah, so,
really bad month.
Very bad month. Yeah. No doubt about that.
Epic for sure.
That's Chicago. You know, we're just it's a baseball town, and people take it passionately.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't think like Dusty Baker knew what he was getting into with the Cubs.
No chance. No. Yeah, we could go on down the line. Tom Treblehorn.
Oh.
Quaddy.
Oh, poor Quaddy, man. Whoa.
Rick Renteria. I think the only one that seemed to take it well was Joe Maddon. And,
yes.
He won right off the bat. So
Dale Swaim.
Dale took it pretty well because he knew they were going to lose. He was in a rebuild.
That's true.
He was a pretty mellow guy.
But, he never had a chance, yeah.
No, he never had a shot. And it's too bad because I would have really liked to seen him with a good team because I didn't think he was a bad manager at all. He just a victim of circumstance and then never got another shot. And we'll probably never see Renteria with another shot, even though he got the Cubs to the next step in the rebuild. And he got the Sox to the next step in the rebuild. And both times he was canned for a celebrity manager.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. God, the ego shot to that guy, man. I hope he has.
Yeah. I feel bad. We've never heard from him again. Really?
Yeah,
I don't think we've heard from him. We haven't heard from Ross.
Yeah, Ross might be the biggest cutthroat of all because he's a celebrity, right? For so many different reasons.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you understand that managers are going to get fired, but man, to get like replaced like that, there's somebody better than you.
When they end the season talking about what a great job you did. I mean, they were 10 games under 500 and got them into a playoff race and they
choked.
Of course, fell apart at the end, but I'd really love to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
I think we'll be waiting for a while on that.
Yeah, somebody's going to get it one of these days. I hope it's you, Paul Sullivan. I hope that all of a sudden I see it.
I can guarantee you it's not going to be me. No, it's not going to be me, but it will be someone.
Okay.
I would imagine it'll be ESPN because he used to work there. So
probably
maybe Jesse.
Yeah.
I think Jesse wrote his book or something.
I wrote your book. Give me a little something, something.
Yeah.
I gotcha. All right, Paulie, you're the best, man. Thanks for jumping on. Appreciate you.
Okay, Groat. Take care.
Yep. See ya. That's Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. Love talking to Paul because we talk about right now. And then we just did talk about the 1990 White Sox, talk about the 2007 Chicago Cubs. And I now have to take a break. When we come back, you, if you missed it earlier, you will not miss it this time. Pete Crow Armstrong joins us next on Hit and Run on The Score.
What the hell do you think isn't working?
Hit and Run with Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
I think when you got guys that got on the mound and you go out there, you know, kind of hoping they just feel comfortable enough to do what they need to do on the mound and whatever that means to them. And if that results in us having to make plays, that's what we're here to do. And that's what I'm here to do. I live for that. So, you know, I'm as much as I want to go run and chase balls down, I also have I have to be okay with Javi Assad going six shutty and Shota going seven shutty and whatever. Yeah, like, honestly, it's very fun for me to watch from the center field angle too. I'm going and looking to make plays regardless.
PCA wants action out there. He's playing nice. He wants to go track down some baseballs out there. Pete Crow Armstrong was on with us earlier. We're not going to have time to replay it for you, but you can go back on the Odyssey app at 10:30 and check it out. It'll be there forever. You will definitely be able to find it at some point in time, and he was very entertaining, as you heard right there. He lives for that bleep. Today, the Cubs continue their series against the Pirates. Pre-game coverage starts at 12:45 with Matt Spiegel today. Also, Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call for that first pitch at 1:20 to be made by Jameson Taillon. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell here in just 1 second as he just spoke pregame. But let's go to Ray in Orland Park first. Hello, Ray. You are on Hit and Run on The Score.
Hi, Mark. Good to talk to you. Before I get to my point, would you mind mentioning again what that documentary was? That sounds absolutely fascinating, what you were talking about.
Yeah, the book is called, and I think the documentary was titled the same thing, Last Comiskey, and it's about the 1990 Chicago White Sox. The book was written by Ken Smoller. I don't have the name of the gentleman who put the documentary together right off the top. I met him. He's a great dude.
We actually had Ken Smoller on the show a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah, Smoller was on. So just, look up Last Comiskey and you'll see it. It's really, there's a book and there's a documentary. And like I said, I hadn't remembered much of that, but when it all came back to me, it's a really, really good documentary.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. You were listing off all those 90 players. That was the heyday of my baseball card collecting. I knew all those guys. I could tell you their batting averages, how many home runs they hit, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
I was at an event, too. I got to meet Steve Trout at a card signing event in Orland Park. So I got our Steve Trout autograph ball, Jerome Walton, Ozzie Guillen. So I had fun over there myself.
Yeah.
With some retro names.
Oh, man. So those are go ahead.
Those are some retros. Yeah. Yep. So on to the Cubs right now. One thing I really haven't enjoyed about Jed and Theo's, I know Theo's gone, but he's still, his fingerprints are on the team, of their running of the team is their devaluation of the closer. I know this is all the sabermetric world that they live in, but I just keep thinking about, like, what if they kept their oldest Chapman? What if they, you know, instead of having Brandon Morrow be the closer, like, what if we would have had a legitimate closer? And I'm sorry, I don't know who the real legitimate closer is out there because the league has done this where they don't respect that you can get guys out with Rick Honeycutt, Gene Nelson, and Dennis Eckersley. There's some more names for you.
Yeah,
at the back end of your bullpen. But other than Mason Miller, who you got to give the whole farm up for, I mean, they got to get somebody because this stinks. And they got to value the position again and realize that when Mariano Rivera came out, the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
He had ERAs in the ones for years. That matters. And the way they haven't about this, does it matter? And the way they handle this has been disappointing.
Yeah, thanks for the call, man. I hear you. I think one of the, you know, another one of the names too that was only here for a year, I think, was Wade Davis, and he was absolutely excellent that year. I will say this though, the Cubs, Alzolay was good last year, and you know maybe he wasn't great, but you had to think that he would follow up what he did and maybe become a terrific closer in the league. So I actually understood what they're doing, and for the record, they did have quote unquote backup as well in Hector Neris. So they, even though these guys haven't worked, and so you can quibble with the personnel, they did seem to think about it. You know, they had two guys on the roster who they thought could close games. But I do agree with you, and I'll say it again. I don't think that the closer is on their roster right now unless all of a sudden Ben Brown just takes the ball and he's absolutely awesome. But I can't quite get there as of yet. A simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything on The Score has to offer is the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score and take us everywhere you may go. There are a couple things coming out of Wrigley Field right now. One from Craig Counsell. Let's start here right at the top as he has an update on Nico Horner.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nico's doing well. We're having positive days. And so I think Tuesday looks good right now, assuming today goes well, if Tuesday looks good. And the goal is to just get it behind him. And I think we have a chance to do that, on Tuesday.
So that's the Horner update. So I imagine he'll be good to go as counsel. So I don't think there'll be any funny stuff with that. Horner will be back on Tuesday. What about a guy that we've mentioned several times today? Two of the guys, actually, Jordan Wicks. And, yeah, Drew Smiley's still on this roster.
Yeah, Smiley will pitch on Tuesday in South Bend. Wicks will throw a bullpen here and then go out on rehab for the end of the week.
And before Smiley was injured, Craig Counsell seemed to really like using Drew Smiley. I mean, there's always a guy, it feels like when a new manager comes, he goes, oh, that's the guy he's attaching himself to. So it'll be interesting to see how he does use Drew Smiley when he comes back, and a guy who is also capable of starting. Couple of things on Shota Imanaga. Let's start first, Craig Counsell, on the confidence that Imanaga is showing.
You know, Shota's not young, and I think, and from that, I don't mean that to say that he's old, but I think he is. He's in a place in life where he's very sure who he is, and that's been evident kind of from early on. He's very confident in his choices, very confident in the people he puts around him. And it just, I think it all shows kind of in how he handles the situation. If you come here to play, you're looking for an experience, right? I think that's important. Now, is there going to be challenges with it? Absolutely, there's challenges with it. I think he is, you know, looking for the experience of what a new country, what can I enjoy from a new country? And I think you take that perspective and it makes the experience a really good one.
I love that. If you come to play here, you are looking for an experience. That is absolutely true, unless you get drafted and have no choice but to play with the Chicago Cubs. One last thing. That said, that carries over to the next thing with Imanaga. How is he handling the media?
There's no question that the Dodgers have received the bulk of the attention, and we understand that. I think what Shota's doing, if he wants it, he deserves it. That's for sure. Because he's been remarkable, and how he does it is it's really fun to watch. It's entertaining to me, and I think to most fans, and even on TV, it feels entertaining to me. Not just competitively great. It feels entertaining.
That's so true. Spot on. McCutchen goes deep yesterday. No, foul ball. Imanaga reacting just the way you were probably reacting at home. Phew. Thank God. That was Craig Counsell. Cubs baseball is coming up here in just a short few minutes. I didn't want to say that same word that Pete Crow Armstrong said earlier. Thanks for PCA coming on the show today. Thank you to Jim DeShays. We also had Matt Spiegel, Paul Sullivan as well. Terrific lineup put together by Sean Sears, the executive producer of Hit and Run. I'm Mark Grody. Thanks so much for listening today. I will be back on tomorrow night from 6 to 9 talking more baseball. I might spray in some Bears tomorrow night as well. Cubs coming up. Cubs and Pirates, final game of this series. Spiegs will have your pregame next right here on The Score.
God darn it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.